I'd like to say hello to everybody. We tried to minister to you a little bit from Israel in the morning service, and we didn't get to talk but very little because we were pressed real tight at the time and didn't have the time to talk. But we did say a few words. But anyway, I'd like to speak to you from Holland. We're over in Amsterdam, Holland. I've been here before, and we've never ministered to you from Holland. Here in Holland, we've been able to get out a lot of literature in time past, reach a lot of people. And we've had a real desire to be able to minister the gospel here in Holland to these people in a crusade or whatever. We've not been able to do that as of yet, but things have worked in our favor toward ministering here, and maybe later on we'll be able to come back into Holland and minister. But anyway, I'd like to say hello to everybody and tell you that we are thankful to be returning home. It shouldn't be long before we'll be back on the home front. It's over in the morning here, and it's, of course, just regular church time there. I trust that you've been praying for us and that everything has been well with you. It has been going real good with us. We run into problems, but there hasn't been any problems, but what God has solved the problems and made a way for us and everything that we've attempted to do for him. Since we've been gone, we've been able to reach thousands of people for the Lord Jesus, and this, of course, is always the thrill of my life. I don't have any ambitions in life except to reach souls for Christ, knowing that the time is near at hand and that Jesus may return at any time. I'm always stimulated by those thoughts, and it causes me to want to stay right on the firing line for Christ. I trust that everybody has been God-minded on the front, on the home front, and that they've been trying to do whatever they can to win souls. I'm looking forward to coming back home and being there for a few days and being able to do something on the home front, see if I can encourage some more of the brothers and sisters to be ambitious toward God. You know, life doesn't hold very much for an individual unless they're doing something for God. Life is just a routine and a waste of time other than you would be doing something for God. There's not much to look forward to in life other than it's kind of like those that wandered in the wilderness of their own intellectual reasoning in the days of Moses. They did that until they died in the wilderness. They never did accomplish anything in their lifetime. But I'm thrilled when I meet people or talk with people, wherever it might be in the world, as those that are God-minded and those that are conscientious toward God. I know that they are not living a wasted life. I realize that those that are conscientious toward God, that those people have something to live for. Life is worthwhile. But, of course, when a person is just living their life just to do the regular routines of life, there's not much to it. As a matter of fact, I recently heard someone say that they, if life did not hold any more for them than what they'd already seen, that they was altogether ready to give it up. And, of course, this person that I was talking to is a very prosperous person, and a very blessed person, naturally speaking. But they've come to realize that life isn't much without God. So I hope on the home front it hasn't been like this, that people have had their minds on the things of the world, leaving Jesus out of their lives. It's wonderful to be able to enjoy things. It's wonderful to be able to enjoy life, as long as it's according to the leadership and the rules and regulations of God. But without God, things are worthless. Life is worthless. Few days and full of trouble. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. And as the writer said, it's swifter than a shuttle. So we need to be aware of these things and we need to pray, Jesus said, without ceasing. He said men ought to always pray, and you have to watch and pray, he said, lest you enter into temptation. So then that means that you've got to pray continually, pray always. And of course, the Bible said, when you pray, believe. If you pray, it doesn't do you any good to pray unless you believe. And you have to put your efforts behind your prayers, your efforts behind your believing. I'm fully persuaded that as long as an individual will make a special effort to do something for God, doesn't matter what it is, if there's something that you desire, if you make a special effort toward it, and you use your faith while you're making an effort, a genuine effort, God will see it through. I know that today we needed a miracle from God to be able to change the air tickets around. And Brother David Paul was telling me, he said, Dad, there's just no way that you can do that. I said, David, I'm using my faith. I'm believing. And of course, he said, well, said, if it happens, it'll have to be a miracle. And of course, it happened. And he said, that can't be nothing less than a miracle. But anyway, God worked it out for us. The Bible said if you desire anything, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and ye shall have it. And he said that if you ask anything, believing in your heart, not doubting, but believing that those things which you ask or believe shall come to pass, he said you shall have whatsoever you say. I know this is true because we've taken advantage of it many times. And he said, if you decree a thing in your heart, don't doubt, but purpose in your heart that it's going to be that way, then it'll come to pass. So whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And the Bible says, as to a preparation of heart, that you might have a heart to believe. Then the Bible says that if we have aught against any, when we're praying, that we should forgive, that our Heavenly Father might also forgive those trespasses that we have against Him and against others. For forgive not men their trespasses, those where they've trespassed against us. If we do not forgive them from our heart, then the Bible says that God will not forgive our trespasses. So then it's necessary to have a heart preparation. I remind you so many times in our preaching, the Bible says that the preparation of man's heart is from God. And when we do the things that convince our heart, that is, when we do the things that please God, or those things that are favorable toward God, then do we believe in our heart. Then do we have confidence toward God that he heareth us. And of course, the Bible tells us that if God heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And this, of course, is what makes us happy. The Bible said, and this is your fruits. I would that ye bear much fruit, and this is your fruits, that whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, Jesus said. So then it's necessary for us to do the things that please God. And if we're going to believe, if we're going to have real, genuine faith, there's no way to have this faith without heart preparation. And that heart preparation is to do the things that please God, that we might eliminate condemnation from our heart and have a heart of faith toward God. You know, as I travel around, one of the things I see that man is shortcoming in is his joy in the Lord. He doesn't have much joy. most people don't really enjoy serving God. And the reason is because they're not really serving God. They're not doing the things that causes joy in their heart. They're not interested, fully interested in the things of God. They're not completely sold out to God. They're kind of lukewarm. Or as the Bible said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So then I would that you were hot or cold. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. The Bible said when we're lukewarm, then to God we stand at the door and we won't go in, and we hinder the others that are coming. Or let's say it like this. When we're more interested in the things of the world and the love of the world is more fascinating to us than the things of God, it's very obvious that we are in a backslidden condition, as the term is often used. A person who is more interested in making money, more interested in having world or social securities of life, someone that's more interested in advancement of life as to the convenience of life and the comforts of life, whereas their concern is toward the things of life, it's not possible that that person can have the joy of the Lord, because they have no joy in serving God. They're not doing anything that could create a joy. The joy of the Lord is the inspiration of God's Spirit. And the joy of the Lord, of course, comes from being active in Christ and wanting to do something for God. So then it's very obvious that when we are half-hearted toward God, that we can never have the things that we want. But I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters in Christ. When the Bible says when serving God becomes a joy, then He will give us the desires of our heart. For it said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then I will give you the desires of your heart. And I remind you, the Bible says, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. And the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord shall make you rich and add no sorrow. So then, as David of old said, my cup runneth over because I rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is then my strength. And if I have the joy of the Lord, then am I strong in the Lord. And this, of course, is what God wants. The Bible said He wants us to be complete in Christ, lacking nothing. And when we rejoice in the Lord, then we have strength in the Lord. And, of course, this is what we need for our faith. I want to say a few more things to you before I close out. Remember, it's not always that we don't believe when we fail to receive the things that we ask for. Sometimes we do believe, but the problem is there is no strength to our believing. The Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was also able to perform. And this, of course, is what thrilled the heart of God. The thing concerning David of old was that David had a pure heart in spite of all of his problems. He had a pure heart. The Bible said, David, a man after mine own heart. Or that is to say, the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see God. And David was pure in heart. He believed in God. And he said, though my ways don't please thee, yet my heart is perfect before thee. And of course, David could say that because it was seven times a day that he went to God to pray. Whereas someone would ask the question, how often should I pray, Brother Pike? I tell you, so many times the Bible says that we should meditate in the laws of God day and night, and that we should cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we might be complete in Him. It would be wonderful if we could say with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. That is to say, as Paul used the terms, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is, if we should pass away in this life, go into the next life, then it would be gain because we've given our life to Christ. It would be our reward coming to us. And, of course, if we continue to live in this life, we're not going to do anything except let Christ be seen in our lives to live an overcoming life just for the Lord Jesus himself. So it's wonderful to be able to talk with you and encourage you in the things of God and to know that you really do care about the things of God. In the past, you've proven that. Many of you have made great sacrificial efforts toward God over and over. And we have to remember this, Christian friend, that what we have done yesterday is not sufficient for today. It is sufficient for yesterday, and God will greatly reward us for those things that we did yesterday, but that isn't sufficient for today. Well, the Bible teaches that we have to do things for God every day of our life if we're planning to keep him in our life. And we've got to have a lifestyle that includes Christ. And if we're planning to have this wonderful blessing of God upon us and upon our children, we have to do this. He said, I would that my people honor me, obey my voice, that it might be well with them and with their children all the days of their life. So then we're praying for you wherever we go. We're praying for you, and we're trusting that you're praying for us, and we're trusting that you're always God-minded and willing to do something for Christ and for the needy. May the Lord bless you. Remember us. Don't forget us. Always remember us. Pray for us. We need your prayers. And we're praying for you. When I tell you that we're praying for you, we are praying for you. We're sincerely praying for you that God will give you and your children the very best and provide for you on the home front while we're out on the frontier trying to do what we can for Christ. May the Lord bless all of you, and we'll just say bye to you until we're able to talk to you in person, which should not be very long from now.